This is a drive.
I don't understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to the drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the up. The drive.
Shut his mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yes.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
It's 8:07, time for the brand opening sale at jacuzziofsacramento.com. Call 315-TUBS. You have many choices. For your morning listening, we appreciate you choosing the drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate on this Monday morning. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Steve Smith will join us in moments. We will talk about basketball and kicks to the groin and all creatures great and small. I wonder how Steve feels about the sneak exit.
I
got to ask him.
I have no idea.
A lot of stuff
been there once or twice.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm sure he has. Who hasn't, really?
Right. Well, especially when you're a celebrity like that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to just bounce silently.
Yeah. Got to get out.
Yeah, because you have the next event to go to.
Right.
And maybe that was the case on Saturday.
Somebody from the station, we won't mention who, snuck exited from Katie's party on Saturday. Sub poll out there right
gonna,
now.
He's going to... Do I have it right? He's actually going to call in.
Oh, is he calling
at,
in?
At 8:30 to defend himself?
Wow.
He's going to reveal himself.
Wow. So the KHDK employee that sneak exited, and we've got all kinds of guesses on the text line as to who it is. No, it was not Christopher Law in his Metafast commercial. He did not leave.
Chris has never left a party early
ever
in his life.
Question from the show. This is the sub poll up right now. Is it okay to sneak exit a party? If yes, under what circumstances? 93% say yes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of these. Jen says, Nate, I think you said it too. I believe it's called an Irish exit. I've never heard this term before, so I looked it up just to see. Irish exit is a term used when a person leaves a place without saying goodbye to the people they are with. For example, man number one, hey, man, where did you go last night? You just disappeared. Did you take a girl home or something? Man number two, no, I got drunk and pulled an Irish exit. Oh, happy birthday, by the way. That is from Urban Dictionary. Here's another guy. Davey, still in the Navy, writes, under any circumstances, yes. When it's go time, I don't want to say goodbye for 40 minutes plus to hear, why are you going 80 times? That's
what I
say.
Yeah.
I feel like parties should have a log-in, log-out book, and in one area have a reason for leaving early so I can write it and go.
Time card. Punch the clock.
Let's see. From the text line, a buddy of mine blew up his own bathroom at a party so bad that he climbed out the window and came around to help the waiting people open the door. And to their surprise, the bathroom was empty.
Whoa, man. Who was that?
Oh, my goodness.
That's a pro move.
Where did he go?
Where did he go?
You
know what the pro move is with the silent sneak exit there is something you do, like if we were all in a bar or something. This is a little bit tougher to do at a barbecue, but if we're at a bar or something like that, if you're going to do the sneak exit, you sneak around to drinks onto your tab before you leave.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, you close out your thing, make sure no one sees you, get those guys another round of beers or whatever it is, then you bounce. And then, number one, they're distracted a little bit. Number two, you built up a little goodwill.
Yeah. They can't be mad at you. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, at least you bought us a drink before you left.
Apparently, it's also called ghosting, I'm being told as
okay.
well.
Ghosting.
John, you're in Stockton. Before we get to Steve Smith, let's talk to John. You're on the drive. John!
Or something. The sneak exit.
John, turn down your stereo. John.
You there, buddy?
Did we lose John?
Oh, we lost him.
Sorry, John. You can come back.
Poignant.
So, yeah, there you go. There's a lot of, and a lot of this.
You know what? Later in the show, too, I think it would be fair. I would like to hear I want people to be honest. I want them to call in and tell us their most infamous sneak exit story and why.
Well, Michigan State's Steve Smith, as I was like to say. Hey, Steve, you there? We have you, Steve?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Good
okay,
morning.
So it is Michigan State, Steve Smith, as I always like to introduce him, and he's an analyst for NBA TV. Before we
get TNT,
to the NBA and all things there, I say we bring Steve in, Katie.
With the sneak exit.
Yeah, ask him.
All right, Steve, I had a barbecue at my house on Saturday, and someone from the station was there, and he pulled the sneak exit. And the question is, when is it okay and not okay to do it? Have you ever executed a sneak exit?
Yeah, I have. I mean, a lot of times, you know, you just don't want to be rude, and obviously you don't want to sometimes be also stopped, so you just kind of sneak out of there, especially if you have somewhere to go that's important.
Yeah, well, you're an important guy, so I can understand you executing.
Or maybe, Katie, your barbecue was
bad. Maybe it was bad. This is a very I can't argue with you on that, Steve.
But isn't that kind of the thing where, Steve, you're at a place, and Steve, you're a visible dude. When it's time to go, you want to go, and you don't want to deal with. It's not just the 30,000 goodbyes, but it's everybody and their mother saying, "Oh, you leaving early, what's up there, old man?" You don't want to deal with that.
Right. Or you just want to get the valet, because I'm sure Katie has that.
Yeah, I had a valet service as well.
And you want to just kind of jump the line.
Yeah, also with my porta potty outside, absolutely. No. I have a feeling that Steve doesn't really sneak anywhere, though. So, but
Steve, have you ever inadvertently kicked someone in the junk during a playoff game? How about that?
I'm sure I have. I'm just not sure it was in the Western Conference or Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not sure, but it happens. I mean, I know when you're flailing your arms trying to draw a foul, and now the new thing is kicking. So a lot of guys are kicking, but it's interesting to see how the NBA handles this one, especially after Dante Jones is suspended for a game. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle this one.
So, Steve, I've got to ask you this because, you know, things happen during the course of a game, but Draymond Green now has executed 2 groin kicks / knees in a 3-game series so far. So when you look at that replay of it and you see that Dante Jones was suspended for a game for what he did to Bismack Biyombo, how do you think the NBA should rule today, and how do you think they will rule?
Well, just, you know, I just made a statement, like, they got to look at both of them, but you also have to look at both of them as isolated situations.
Yeah.
I think Dante's was a play, whether it was on purpose or not. At the end of the game, without him having the basketball, I think offensively for Draymond, the first kick, I mean, you got to, when you go for a layup, you want to lift off, you got to get your knees up. So I think the next one was afterwards on the second one, after he was fouled or the ball was, you know, stripped away and he lost it, was he intentionally going after Steven Adams? And that's going to have to be for the NBA to decide. And was he intentionally going to try to kick Steven Adams in that uncomfortable place?
Uncomfortable.
Yeah,
back of a Volkswagen. Yeah.
Steve Smith with us on KHTK. Well, Steve, on a scale of 1 to 10, how, with 10 being the most, how much intent do you think there was behind that from Draymond Green, even if it was just kind of heat of the moment?
You know, it's hard to say. I think
based on reputation.
Based on reputation, I think that sometimes is unfair. I mean, because there are some guys that get away with things. I think he plays extremely hard. You know, I've been knowing him forever. And obviously for him is everybody now is trying to draw fouls. You saw, and I applaud LeBron the other day, you know, he got grabbed and usually doesn't fall down. But this time he failed and you got a chance to get a call. So I think everything right now is trying to trick the referees. It used to be in my era, like I said, flailing arms. Now you throw your neck. You know, now you're throwing your foot. Is there
right.
So many guys right now. I also think the NBA has to go back to enforcing flopping. Not saying Draymond is a flopping, but if you enforce the rules of flopping where they're getting fined, then we will get, I think, minimization of a lot of guys, you know, practicing on their Hollywood after basketball, trying to draw fouls.
When you look at this series, and we'll move on from the kick because we could talk about it all day and it doesn't matter. We just got to wait for the NBA to rule on whether or not he will be suspended for a game. But when you look at this series, in your mind, how worried should the Warriors be and how comfortable should the Thunder be right now?
Well, I think the Thunder should not be comfortable at all. We understand when the Warriors get going, it easily can run off 2 or 3 straight games. I think the Warriors should be worried. The reason why is there's 2 areas. They cannot allow the Thunder to get to the free throw line and the Thunder to get easy buckets. And in OKC with their fans and them pushing the basketball, and I give a lot of credit to Billy Donovan, they play big ball, whether it's with Serge and Steven Adams or a combination of Cantor and Steven Adams or those 3. At times they're saying, you know what, we're going to go as just as small as you guys and bring in Deion Waiters for Steven Adams. And I haven't seen any team in this league in the last 2 years been able to match small ball with the Warriors, and they've done that. Mm-hmm.
Steve Smith joining us, NBA TV and TNT analyst right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. The Warriors have been down 2-1 before. We talked about it earlier to the Cavs and Memphis last year. They're down 2-1 now. But they got punked last night bad, and they might be missing Draymond Green in Game 4. Do you still see the Warriors as the team to beat in this series? Or when you look at these matchups and you look at what Oklahoma City did last night, has the tide changed?
Well, obviously the tide has changed because of they have home court advantage, OKC. But I think if you go back the last 2 years, you still say that the Golden State Warriors have just as good of a chance as the OKC Thunder of getting to the championship. So obviously I think it's going to be one of the most watched games ever in NBA history, Game 4. I think everybody would tune in for different reasons. But I think you have to give a lot of credit to Billy Donovan, the OKC Thunder. This is a team we've all known over the last 4 or 5 years have had the talent. I think right now, as of about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I go back to say the Spurs was the best team for the Thunder to play before the Warriors. Reason why, they make you understand attention to details. They make you get ready to play basketball 48 minutes, and I think that helped them going into this series.
Steve, how much credit should Billy Donovan be getting for the job he's done? It feels like they, after the Game 1 loss to the Spurs, they made some adjustments and they had the Spurs on their back foot. Now through the first 3 games of this series, it looked like the Thunder pretty much dictating the terms too. So how much of this is Billy Donovan and how much is it just the talent level of the Thunder finally coming into their own?
Well, they've always had talent. And like you said, I think Billy Donovan has done some things, whereas I think some subtle movements, some subtle adjustments. Deion Waiters is the backup point guard, which who would have thought Deion coming back
right.
in? Is he
yeah.
playing the point guard position? No, but he comes in and talking to Billy Donovan when I was doing their games against OKC, he said, I want him to have the basketball in his hand, come off pick and rolls, and be aggressive. And usually you're watching Deion Waiters, he's one of those players, he has to have the basketball. He can't just stand around and watch Russ, watch KD, watch Serge, watch Cantor. I think having him become the backup point guard per se, he's still scoring, but I see a couple of times now he's finding guys, but he's playing downhill versus we seeing him catch the basketball on the wing, fire a three, or force a one-on-one play when it's off a great pass. He's more of a guy that let him play with the basketball. And then I think for him, also Billy Donovan, he's done a nice job of playing Steven Adams, not starting Cantor this year, and then also being able to go small ball at times. And I think he's done a good job. I know a lot of people would say, hey, you got to take Robinson out of the lineup. He can't score. They're playing 4-on-5. He stuck with him, and it paid off yesterday.
Steve Smith joining us on The Drive. Hey, Steve, I don't know if you realize this. There's actually another series going on between the Cavs and the Raptors. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest level you're absolutely interested, 1 being not interested at all, how interested are you in this series?
You know, I'm a basketball junkie, so I'm very interested. I mean, I like to watch everything that's going on. And, I mean, you get storylines every day, every game, different ones, and you get a chance to look at players and for me to analyze players. Biombo is a player right now. He's saying, hey, Tristan Thompson, you got that big money last summer. I am coming in. I'm putting up gaudy numbers versus you. So I think key right now is obviously the Cavs. It's not just Tristan Thompson against Biombo, but we all understand right now, Tristan, if that's what you do best, rebound the basketball, you're going to have to find a way to keep this guy off the glass, because 26 rebounds, anything will have a chance if he grabs another 20, 25 rebounds. That's giving you second and third chances to be able to score the basketball.
Steve, when we look at this series, nobody gives the Raptors a shot. Almost everybody had them either being swept or done in 5 games. And all the Raptors have done is very quietly take out teams, and then they show up against the Cavs. They lost the first two in big fashion, but they've held home court. It's a 2-1 series. Are we, as a community, are we disrespecting the Raptors here a little bit, or is there something to that and they just don't have a shot?
You know, a great question. I think we are. There's a reason why. I think if we'd have talked about the Cavs in a regular season, we didn't see them as dominant. We forget that they're separated by 1 game, the Cavs and the Raptors. Talent-wise, Cleveland's supposed to be better. But throughout the regular season, it wasn't clicking. People were asking what's wrong. They made the coaching change. And then you have a Toronto team that's gone through a lot of adversity. We all know that in any walks of life, when you go through adversity, they've lost Valanciunas. They've been to two game sevens. There's nothing else for them. They feel like, hey, we've been through everything. Let's just go out there and play. They seemed free last game, and obviously you want to play free, but it just seemed like they came out and said, hey, let's just give it our all. They looked like they approached it as a game seven. They went through the last two rounds. But I also say on the Cavs, and because of the way they played, I don't think Tyronn Lue is getting enough credit, how hard that is to take over for Coach Black, a guy that went to the championship, and then have to come in and gain the trust and also coach a superstar hard. A lot of superstars won't take that, and I think Tyronn Lue has done a good job with LeBron James coming right out and saying the Cavs are not in shape and we're going to push the basketball. So you're talking to your leader and all the other guys who went to the championship last year.
Am I looking too far into it, Steve, or do you think the Cavs took game three for granted?
No, I don't think so. I think it comes down to sometimes, you know, they're professionals, the Raptors. You know, it's do or die. It's so hard to go up against somebody, do or die. And that's why I said is if the Cavs can come out and dominate game three, you can see they took in the best punch of a team that's desperate. They played extremely hard. I give the Cavs credit. They didn't get blown out. They were within 5 to 7 points a lot of times in that third and fourth quarter. It's just the Raptors wanted it a little more, and they had a guy named Biombo that came out and had one of those nights. Can he duplicate that? We shall see.
Now, Steve, before we let you go, I want to ask you, because this is one of the things that I'm really curious about come, you know, the offseason for the NBA. One team specifically that you're connected to historically is, I'm curious what's going to happen in Atlanta. This is a team that's had great success in the regular season the last 2 years, but have flailed out in the playoffs, and they've kind of gone with the no major star approach to it. Do you see any big changes for them in the offseason that they, A, need to do it, or B, will be doing it, and why?
Well, I think, yeah. I think if you look at their roster, there's a lot of different guys as a free agent. They have to make a decision. Is it Jeff Teague's team? Is it Dennis Schroeder's team as far as a point guard position? And I think next is, do you want to keep Al Horford or not? But I think the major concern or the major problem I've seen with the Atlanta Hawks over the years is they're just not big enough. I mean, when they get to the postseason and you start to play against some of these teams, Al Horford and Millsap can battle with pretty much anybody in the league versus size. But I think when you start to look at the drop-off, I mean, Mike Scott is a basically small forward, power forward, is the first big coming off the bench. I love the way Humphreys came and played, but they picked him up late. They have to find a way to have some size to be able to compete after the second round. Because if you start to look at the teams now, OKC, San Antonio, how big they are. Golden State Warriors can go big when they want to with Varejao and Festus Ezeli and Maurice Spates and also Bogut. The Hawks couldn't go big. You had Horford and Millsap and pretty much nobody else coming off the bench. You have to get size. And I know small ball is in, but rebounding is still something you have to do in the NBA.
Steve, we're up against it. Can't let you go without asking you this. You're a Spartan. Speaking of Michigan State, Kings drafting 8 this year. One of the guys being rumored they're looking at, Denzel Valentine. Can you give us the quick Steve Smith scouting report on this guy?
I love him. Played with his dad at Michigan State. The one thing I love about Denzel is just go back and look at his numbers from as a freshman, a guy that got better every year. A guy who wanted to stay to win. A guy who probably could have came out last year, wouldn't have been as high. But also a guy that Tom Izzo said, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And he never shied away from it. Played the point guard position. I think it took a little bit away from him as far as physically because he had to score, he had to defend. But I think looking at two areas, the way he was able to shoot the basketball from three from his freshman year, I think he went from 28% to close to 40 or maybe over 40%. Mm-hmm. And defensively, he was average, but he became elite at the college level of defending in multiple positions. So I always look at guys, no matter where they come from, if they keep getting better and how hard they play and how much they want to win, that separates a lot of guys, even with talent.
Steve, my friend, thank you for joining us today. You are a gentleman and a basketball scholar, and we will be hitting you up in the future, and I will chase you down if you don't come on again. So thank you for taking the time this morning.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And Katie, you know, you got to invite somebody to these big-time barbecues.
Right.
You know what? If you want to fly in from Atlanta to come to a barbecue at my house, it's an open invitation for you. But I'm going to put a bell on you so you can't sneak off. Hey, so
we had pulled pork ribs and chicken, Steve. It was a hell of an event, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, have a good
take
one.
Care. Too. No sneak exit from him.
No sneak exit.
No sneaking from him. Right out the door. All right, yep. We'll take a break. 8:26, time for the grand opening sale at JacuzziaSacramento.com. Call 315-TUBS. When we get back, we talked about sneak exits last hour. Well, apparently, we weren't going to name who it was.
No, but
he's going to unveil himself.
Yeah.
And then we'll ask you guys. I am curious.
Play judge and jury.
I mean, yeah. What are your best sneak exit stories? We'll take a break. We'll come back, finish up. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Not saying Draymond is a flopping, but if you enforce the rules of flopping where they're getting fined, then we will get, I think, minimization of a lot of guys, you know, practicing on their Hollywood after basketball, trying to draw fouls.
When you look at this series, and we'll move on from the kick because we could talk about it all day and it doesn't matter. We just got to wait for the NBA to rule on whether or not he will be suspended for a game. But when you look at this series, in your mind, how worried should the Warriors be and how comfortable should the Thunder be right now?
Well, I think the Thunder should not be comfortable at all. We understand when the Warriors get going, it easily can run off two or three straight games. I think the Warriors should be worried. The reason why is there's two areas. They cannot allow the Thunder to get to the free throw line and the Thunder to get easy buckets. And in OKC with their fans and them pushing the basketball, and I give a lot of credit to Billy Donovan, they've played big ball, whether it's with Serge and Steven Adams or a combination of Cantor and Steven Adams or those three. At times they're saying, you know what, we're going to go as just as small as you guys and bring in Deion Waiters for Steven Adams. And I haven't seen any team in this league in the last 2 years been able to match small ball with the Warriors, and they've done that. Mm-hmm.
Steve Smith joining us, NBA TV and TNT analyst right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. The Warriors have been down 2-1 before. We talked about it earlier to the Cavs and Memphis last year. They're down 2-1 now, but they got punked last night bad, and they might be missing Draymond Green in Game 4. Do you still see the Warriors as the team to beat in this series? Or when you look at these matchups and you look at what Oklahoma City did last night, has the tide changed?
Well, obviously the tide has changed because of they have home court advantage, OKC. But I think if you go back the last 2 years, you still say that the Golden State Warriors have just as good of a chance as the OKC Thunder getting to the championship. So obviously I think it's going to be one of the most watched games ever in NBA history, Game 4. I think everybody would tune in for different reasons. But I think you have to give a lot of credit to Billy Donovan, the OKC Thunder. This is a team we've all known over the last 4 or 5 years have had the talent. I think right now, as of about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I go back to say the Spurs was the best team for the Thunder to play before the Warriors. Reason why, they make you understand attention to details. They make you get ready to play basketball 48 minutes, and I think that helped them going into this series.
Steve, how much credit should Billy Donovan be getting for the job he's done? It feels like they, after the Game 1 loss to the Spurs, they made some adjustments and they had the Spurs on their back foot. Now through the first three games of this series, it looked like the Thunder pretty much dictating the terms too. So how much of this is Billy Donovan and how much is it just the talent level of the Thunder finally coming into their own?
Well, they've always had talent. And like you said, I think Billy Donovan has done some things, whereas I think some subtle movements, some subtle adjustments. Deion Waiters is the backup point guard, which who would have thought Deion coming back
right.
in? Is he playing a point guard position? No, but he comes in and talking to Billy Donovan when I was doing their games against OKC, he said, I want him to have the basketball in his hand, come off pick and rolls, and be aggressive. And usually you're watching Deion Waiters, he's one of those players, he has to have the basketball. He can't just stand around and watch Russ, watch KD, watch Serge, watch Cantor. I think having him become the backup point guard per se, he's still scoring, but I see a couple of times now he's finding guys, but he's playing downhill versus we seeing him catch the basketball on the wing, fire a three, or force a one-on-one play when it's off a great pass. He's more of a guy that let him play with the basketball. And then I think for him, also Billy Donovan, he's done a nice job of playing Steven Adams, not starting Cantor this year, and then also being able to go small ball at times. And I think he's done a good job. I know a lot of people would say, hey, you got to take Roberson out of the lineup. He can't score. They're playing 4-on-5. He stuck with him, and it paid off yesterday.
Steve Smith joining us on The Drive. Hey, Steve, I don't know if you realize this. There's actually another series going on between the Cavs and the Raptors. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest level, you're absolutely interested, 1 being not interested at all, how interested are you in this series?
You know, I'm a basketball junkie, so I'm very interested. I mean, I like to watch everything that's going on. And, I mean, you get storylines every day, every game, different ones, and you get a chance to look at players and for me to analyze players. Biombo is a player right now. He's saying, hey, Tristan Thompson, you got that big money last summer. I am coming and I'm putting up gaudy numbers versus you. So I think key right now is obviously the Cavs. It's not just Tristan Thompson against Biombo. But we all understand right now, Tristan, if that's what you do best, rebound the basketball, you're going to have to find a way to keep this guy off the glass. Because 26 rebounds, anything will have a chance if he grabs another 20, 25 rebounds. That's giving you second and third chances to be able to score the basketball.
Steve, when we look at this series, nobody gives the Raptors a shot. Almost everybody had them either being swept or done in five games. And all the Raptors have done is very quietly take out teams, and then they show up against the Cavs. They lost the first two in big fashion, but they've held home court. It's a 2-1 series. Are we, as a community, are we disrespecting the Raptors here a little bit, or is there something to that and they just don't have a shot?
You know, a great question. I think we are. There's a reason why. I think if we'd have talked about the Cavs in a regular season, we didn't see them as dominant. We forget that they're separated by one game, the Cavs and the Raptors. Talent-wise, Cleveland's supposed to be better. But throughout the regular season, it wasn't clicking. People were asking what's wrong. They made the coaching change. And then you have a Toronto team that's gone through a lot of adversity. We all know that in any walks of life. When you go through adversity, they've lost Valanciunas. They've been to two game sevens. There's nothing else for them. They feel like, hey, we've been through everything. Let's just go out there and play. They seemed free last game. And obviously, you want to play free. But it just seemed like they came out and said, hey, let's just give it our all. They look like they approached it as a game seven. They went through the last two rounds. But I also say on the Cavs, and because of the way they played, I don't think Tyronn Lue is getting enough credit, how hard that is to take over for Coach Black, a guy that went to the championship, and then have to come in and gain the trust and also coach a superstar hard. A lot of superstars won't take that, and I think Tyronn Lue has done a good job with LeBron James coming right out and saying the Cavs are not in shape, and we're going to push the basketball. So you're talking to your leader and all the other guys who went to the championship last year.
Am I looking too far into it, Steve, or do you think the Cavs took game three for granted?
No, I don't think so. I think it comes down to sometimes, you know, they're professionals, the Raptors. You know, it's do or die. It's so hard to go up against somebody, do or die. And that's why I said is if the Cavs can come out and dominate game three, you can see they took in the best punch of a team that's desperate. They played extremely hard. I give the Cavs credit. They didn't get blown out. They were within 5 to 7 points a lot of times in that third and fourth quarter. It's just the Raptors wanted it a little more, and they had a guy named Biombo that came out and had one of those nights. Can he duplicate that? We shall see.
Now, Steve, before we let you go, I want to ask you, because this is one of the things that I'm really curious about come, you know, the offseason for the NBA. One team specifically that you're connected to historically is, I'm curious what's going to happen in Atlanta. This is a team that's had great success in the regular season the last 2 years, but have flailed out in the playoffs, and they've kind of gone with the no major star approach to it. Do you see any big changes for them in the offseason that they, A, need to do it, or B, will be doing it, and why?
Well, I think, yeah. I think if you look at their rosters, there's a lot of different guys as a free agent. They have to make a decision. Is it Jeff Teague's team? Is it Dennis Schroeder's team as far as a point guard position? And I think next is, do you want to keep Al Horford or not? But I think the major concern or the major problem I've seen with the Atlanta Hawks over the years is they're just not big enough. I mean, when they get to the postseason and you start to play against some of these teams, Al Horford and Millsap can battle with pretty much anybody in the league versus size. But I think when you start to look at the drop-off, I mean, Mike Scott is a basically small forward, power forward, is the first big coming off the bench. I love the way Humphreys came and played, but they picked him up late. They have to find a way to have some size to be able to compete after the second round. Because if you start to look at the teams now, OKC, San Antonio, how big they are. Golden State Warriors can go big when they want to with Varejao and Festus Ezeli and Maurice Spates and also Bogut. The Hawks couldn't go big. You had Horford and Millsap and pretty much nobody else coming off the bench. You have to get size. And I know small ball is in, but rebounding is still something you have to do in the NBA.
Steve, we're up against it. Can't let you go without asking you this. You're a Spartan. Speaking of Michigan State, Kings drafting 8 this year. One of the guys being rumored they're looking at, Denzel Valentine. Can you give us the quick Steve Smith scouting report on this guy?
I love him. Played with his dad at Michigan State. The one thing I love about Denzel is just go back and look at his numbers from as a freshman, a guy that got better every year. A guy who wanted to stay to win. A guy who probably could have came out last year, wouldn't have been as high. But also a guy that Tom Izzo said, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And he never shied away from it. Played the point guard position. I think it took a little bit away from him as far as physically because he had to score, he had to defend. But I think looking at two areas, the way he was able to shoot the basketball from three from his freshman year, I think he went from 28% to close to 40 or maybe over 40%. Mm-hmm. And defensively, he was average, but he became elite at the college level of defending in multiple positions. So I always look at guys, no matter where they come from, if they keep getting better and how hard they play and how much they want to win, that separates a lot of guys, even with talent.
Steve, my friend, thank you for joining us today. You are a gentleman and a basketball scholar, and we will be hitting you up in the future, and I will chase you down if you don't come on again. So thank you for taking the time this morning.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And Katie, you know, you got to invite somebody to these big-time barbecues.
Right.
You know what? If you want to fly in from Atlanta to come to a barbecue at my house, it's an open invitation for you. But I'm going to put a bell on you so you can't sneak off.
Hey,
so,
we had pulled pork, ribs, and chicken, Steve. It was a hell of an event, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, have a good
take care. No sneak exit from him.
No sneak exit.
No sneaking from him. Right out the door. All right, we'll take a break. 8:26, time for the grand opening sale at jacuzziasacramento.com. Call 315-TUBS. When we get back, we talked about sneak exits last hour. Well, apparently we weren't going to name who it was.
No, but
he's going to unveil himself.
Yeah.
And then we'll ask you guys. I am curious.
Play judge and jury.
What are your best sneak exit stories? We'll take a break. We'll come back, finish up. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. BJJ, now we You know what I'm feeling?
That's right. We love our squad. Yep. All of them. Not even just on our show. We like all of them.
Feeling after the show today. I don't know. Maybe it'll just be me, but you're all welcome. I'm feeling like a little post-show. Feeling like a little post-show.
Oh, man.
Cricket.
A little post-show Cricket Country Kitchen.
Going to Katie's to get my...
Your Traeger and your cooler.
A grill and a cooler.
Come on, girl. We talked earlier in the show. Katie had a lovely party over the weekend, and there were KHDK folks.
Soiree.
Other folks and everyone. And one of the people there who we love very much, and we made it a point to say we love this person very much, but we didn't reveal the name, was there and then was not.
He very efficiently executed the sneak exit.
Yeah, start calling him Casper because he ghosted.
He ghosted.
and he wanted to. He's here right now, and we protected his identity, but he's coming out of the witness protection program. So secret KHDK employee.
Who are you?
Who are you?
You guys are ridiculous. Stop. You guys need to stop.
It's D-Lo.
Who are you?
Right, I love how everybody shouted a different name. That's fantastic.
I think I said D-Lo. Katie Damian. Said Damian. They goes, Barling.
There you go.
Hey, I mean, I know that you had a rough night Saturday, so I'm sorry we woke you up this early. I mean, I'm still sure you're recovering from all the party animal on Saturday night, right?
His other party he went to.
Dude, what happened to you?
So, first of all, you guys are totally overthinking this whole thing.
That's what we do on this show.
Sports talk show hosts seem to do. We overthink things. So, it was as simple as this. First, Katie, you were very sweet and incredibly accommodating to the way I eat, almost to the point that it was, like, embarrassing.
Oh. Explain to everybody when you say how you eat. Explain for those who don't know how you
his
eat.
Feet.
Okay, I'm a vegan, so I don't eat any animal products at all. And I don't make like an effort to publicize that, but Katie knows that I eat a certain way and kind of ask for specifics. And, you know, so Kate, again, so sweet. Yeah, this hummus has nothing in it. Like, it's totally. And then I made this.
I read labels.
For you, which was amazing. It was totally delicious.
Thank you.
And then I got you veggie burgers, and like you're so good. And it's like, oh, okay, wow, okay. That's,
I'm like, do you want
so
a
much.
Bun or do you want to do it like, animal style? Want, I mean,
yeah,
that's a bad.
Like, and she start like, we'll get to that later. And then so she's like offering to do all this stuff for me, and it's like, Katie, thank you, I can do it. So she's doing all this, and there's an audience, so it sparks questions, and Melissa's one of the people who's asking questions, and I'm telling her, you know, what it is that I do and why I eat this way and how it started, how long I've been doing it. But all of that is totally, like, unrelated to how I snuck out of there, as you guys keep pointing out. As I gathered my food and I'm, like, eating and I'm watching the game, and I'm honestly sitting with the only people that I had extended conversations with are, because let's be honest, like, I didn't know anybody. And truth be told, I barely know you guys. Like, we don't work on the same show together.
Right.
We're several hours apart. And Katie, I've known Katie the longest through like WNBA stuff, but it's not like we've had extended social outings.
Right.
Well, you keep sneaking out early on parties. That's not going to improve. I'm trying to get to know you.
Right. Well, Mr. Bolt off to Sac Republic. Dave is gone. Ken is gone. Stephanie's gone. So all those people are gone.
Right.
And then I'm sitting and talking with guys, and I've talked with Nate's fiance, and she was wonderful. And, you know, there was a woman there who I had two conversations with, both of which were about breastfeeding.
Oh, Lord. So Sorry about that.
That was odd. And so as I'm watching, the game, and I'm taking notes, and I'm thinking about, you know, what's going on in the game and the show, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to wrap this up. Say goodbye.
Run
to
out
that
of
I've
here.
Spoken to. So I look over, and I don't even see Jay. So Jay was like, he was there 1 minute, and then he was gone. He was there 1 minute. I saw Jay two times. One time when he took food to the grill. The other time he was in the kitchen, and I spotted his shoes, and I said, hey, I see you with the 11s on. Gave him a head nod.
Right, you know, I want to talk shoes with you, man. You took off.
The person who has them on. And then I don't see Jay again. And so I'm going to say goodbye, and I see Melissa in a group with the breastfeeding girl.
Wait, my wife was with the breastfeeding girls?
Wow.
Your wife was with the breastfeeding girl and Nate's fiance. So
okay.
And they look like they're having fun. So I was like, okay, if I go interrupt, they're either talking about breastfeeding or I'm going to break up the conversation. So I'm like, I'm just going to leave them, and I'm going to say goodbye to Katie and thank her for how sweet she was. And as I pointed out when I got there, and I don't want to put all the – you guys were smoking cigarettes, and that was so – like, I was so sad.
It was so horrible.
It broke my heart when I saw that. And as I go to say goodbye, literally this came out of my mouth. You and Nate were having a cigarette. I'm like, you guys are disgusting.
Right, exactly.
And so the one guy who I said goodbye to, and I never got his name, never shook his hand, was never introduced to him, was the guy – he had just recently lost a bunch of weight.
That was my buddy Pat. Yeah, Patrick.
So we were having a conversation about that, you know, and he was the one guy who was like, hey, it was, you know, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. It was great talking to you. And that was it. So what I considered doing, because I knew, had I known you guys were going to make this a focal point of your Monday morning show, my thought was I was going to take the salad that you had made in the Tupperware. I was going to take the whole thing with me.
Oh, you should have.
Leave it. And empty it and leave it on your chair so when you came in Monday morning, there would be the empty salad thing with a thank you card on it.
Damien, thank you for coming.
You guys are totally overthinking it. The only reason I didn't say goodbye to you is because you were smoking.
Damien, right back in our faces.
I know.
Let me ask you this.
Simple as that.
Because you've never met my friend Pat before, and you mentioned he lost a lot of weight. So my wife and I were having a long discussion about this because I hadn't seen him. He's lost like 60 pounds or something crazy. I think he looks sickly, but hold on. But rude. I think part of that is because I hadn't seen him, and I know him as a bigger dude. And when people lose weight really quickly, you think like, oh my God, is something wrong?
Yeah.
You'd never seen him before. Did he look normal and good to you, or did he also look sickly? Because your opinion would mean more.
No, he looked great.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
He looked great. Right. Yeah, he looked totally healthy.
Okay.
Damien?
I would have never have guessed he had lost a bunch of weight. He just looked like a really active guy.
Yeah.
Like he looked like he was a runner or just, he looked great.
Damien, thank you for coming to the barbecue on Saturday.
Oh, no, thanks for having me. It was it was awesome. Like you're really sweet. I had fun. You have very nice friends. Your roommate is very.
Sorry about
funny
the breastfeeding.
It was great. You guys have to understand. I'm an introvert. So yeah. Like being in place, like Stephanie, I was so thankful when I got there. When I pulled in right behind Stephanie, yeah. Who's a mutual friend
she dresses both
Katie
me and Kara. Yeah.
So it was like, oh, okay, good. I don't have to walk in by myself.
See, that's why most of us have cigarettes, Damon.
Right.
Yeah, right, right.
All right.
Thank
well,
you,
sorry,
thank you, thank you.
Sorry about all the smoking and meat, and we love you.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good show today.
That's Damien.
He revealed himself.
I feel like an
good
ass.
Yeah. You know what? You should feel like an ass.
So the
always.
Smoking caused him to leave.
Yep. It's your fault.
All right.
You guys got to deal with that all the time. I just got these stupid events where I never smoke, but it's like, hey, we're getting hammered in Katie's backyard. Sure, I'll have a couple. And everyone's like, oh, you smoke?
Yeah,
like,
see? Well, don't smoke me. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's wrap up this Thunder Draymond Green thing. Also, we have some sound from over the weekend you need to hear as well. It's The Drive. It's Sports 1140 KHDK.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass.
No trouble. You know, I found out about this song.
I'm all about the bass.
She was on Howard Stern doing this song on ukulele. I never knew what
the treble?
I knew what the bass was. I didn't know what the treble was. All about that bass, no treble. The bass is the badonky donkey.
The badonky donkey.
Apparently, she says.
Dave, if anyone were questioning your background right now, they would absolutely know that you were a white dude.
Yeah, whatever.
Badonky donkey.
Badinkadonk.
Hey, guilty. Apparently, the no treble is the chest area.
The chichiarariri.
Yeah, she has no. Up top.
Yeah.
That's what
that
song's
about. It's all about the bass, not the top.
I like her. I like her. I am a big fan of the
It was also, what was she on where she ate it on stage?
Oh, it was a recent performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes me like
she
her even more.
She nosedived, like hard.
I like that. No, that was not the name of the show, Jay. I think it was like the Grammys or something. Jason,
I thought it was Rebel Wilson doing a skit.
It was a nighttime. Yeah. No, it was a nighttime show.
I like that no song, too.
I do, too.
She does. I like that a lot. Dean.
David.
Dean.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, man.
Town.
Hey there.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, I went from extreme ecstasy to agony. I got to talk massive smack to my family members that live in Chicago, which is beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And then the Warriors forgot how to freaking rebound and lost their ability to run any kind of offense. But I have to say, it was seeing the Giants thought the Cubs was good. But I think Green, if I was a Golden State film guy, they need to be looking at film. I think their only argument can be that it's just the way he shoots his shot. I mean, some guys...
He doesn't
when
shoot
they
his shot
weird,
that way, Dean.
What's that?
Yeah. No one shoots their shot that way.
Well, you tell me. I'm not a basketball
player.
Yeah,
you don't teach that in camp your kid, you
know. I know that. I know you don't do that. It's not like it's Mr. Miyagi sweep the leg. I get it. but you know what I mean? You go up, you're off balance. That'd be the only argument if they said, well, look, look at some of this other film. But I think he's going to be out of game, don't you?
Yeah.
I do. If he does not get suspended a game for that, he already need him once. In a previous game in this series, in the manhood. And I can understand that a little bit earlier where, you know, it was on kind of a layup and you are bringing your knee up on a layup or whatever. But this is a shot where not only did he knee up, but then he extended from the knee.
Yeah.
No one follows. You know, you see three-point shooters a lot try to sweep the legs. And it's to get a call, but this was an intentional. He was seeking out his manhood to punish it. Seriously.
Did the NBA unnecessarily put them in a tough spot with this by not ejecting Draymond Green when it happened? Because if they had ejected him, now they would have it. Exactly. Then you're out. You're good with it.
They passed the buck a little bit. And
so since they didn't eject him, you're saying that now they're kind of locked into where if they don't suspend
Well, now they
him,
have to make a decision
to,
at least, yeah.
The Mark Stein reporting that the decision will come by the end of the day, according to NBA sources, as to whether or not he's gone. Hopefully.
Why does it take that long?
They got a review.
It's 9 o'clock here, almost. It's noon. It's lunch.
Monday. They got crap to do.
Looked at it. There's only two. There's
they got to answer emails.
Left in this. There's four teams. There was one game yesterday.
They got a lot of stuff going
You're
on.
You trying to tell me that it takes that long to make a
Someone
decision?
Someone probably got married over the weekend.
Freaking Terry from HR is vacationing in Vermont.
Exactly.
Somebody snuck out of a party on the weekend.
Exactly. Someone snuck out of the NBA soiree.
You know what? You guys remember the dude that was all over Vine and stuff doing the impressions of NBA players,
yes.
like the kid? And when he did the Russell Westbrook one?
Yes.
That's kind of what Draymond Green looked like when he kicked Steven Adams was that kid hitting the flailing Russell Westbrook jumper, and then
God, I wish we had a camera in here so that everyone could have seen that. Well, I was worried you were going to lose your chair.
I almost bucked myself right off.
Hopefully, for the Warriors' sake, Russell Westbrook is not the arbiter as to whether or not Draymond Green will get suspended. Here's what he said last night.
Honestly, I think it's intentional. And that's two times in the last two games. I don't think you can't keep kicking somebody in their private areas. But he probably said he didn't do it on purpose, but I think the way I look at it, it looks intentional to me.
Private areas? Is there multiple?
Seriously, guys, what we should have done, we totally missed the boat on this, and maybe we still can, but we need to have like a roulette wheel of euphemisms for the groin area.
Right.
Because favorite part about these always is just anticipating what, I mean, you get groin a lot.
But
private areas, we've used junk.
Just use what we use at home with my kids. You got kicked in the peanut. That's what we say.
Daddy parts. I mean, whatever.
Oh, not daddy parts. It's peanut.
So here's the thing. As a guy, because I know a guy that has like a 4-year-old daughter, and they use the word peanut for the thing.
That's what we
but
use.
It's like,
peanut.
What happens when your child gets old enough and say like you walk in the bathroom while you're taking a shower and be like, "Daddy, there's your peanut."
It's the
like
whole tree,
at,
Daddy.
At what point does that start to crush your soul a little bit, and where it's like, oh, your manhood is in question?
No, you just lock the door.
No, right.
Well, we're at that age.
Everyone know, you ever have that problem, all you got to do, Dave, I'm sure you do this being a father, but every now and then you just got to walk around with your pants off, show the old boy who's still got the biggest, you know what I mean?
And this comes the childish guy.
No. I don't want to depress my kid. I want him to be an optimist. I want him to feel good about what's ahead for him. Hopefully he takes after mom.
Peanut this, boy.
Yeah, peanut. That's more like an almond. The Giants hit 2-3 from the Chicago Cubs. Madison Bumgarner purposely fouled off a couple of pitches when he was asked to bunt and promptly hit a double. They beat the Cubs 1-0. Lots of stuff going on tomorrow's program. I haven't figured it out yet, but probably we'll put our minds together and be at least halfway entertaining. For Steve Smith of NBA TV and TNT, Jay behind the glass doing a fine, fine job. Nate Goodyear and Katie Christensen. I think we've come to the conclusion, kids. Sneak exits. Okay, under certain circumstances.
But don't expect to not catch heat over it.
No, not at all. And by the way, I didn't want to make him feel bad, but you still can text the hostess afterwards and say, I mean, I'm just saying. Listen, right? I mean, what were we letting up for?
So he burnt you with the smoking, and now you're going to burn him back?
I'm not burning him back. We talked about it before. You know, hey, I had
Lines
to get out of there.
Lines are open.
I didn't want to hug an ashtray. There was cow and pig all over the place being fried up. I respect that.
I'll take a wave, though.
There was also poultry.
Poultry, right. So if he doesn't like smoke or meat, that Traeger's probably not for him. Yeah. That combines the best of both worlds.
Former Sixers draft pick, Arnett Poultry.
Jimmer Fredette. Jim Rome is next. It's the drive. This is Sports 1140 KGK.